The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
It's Friday.
This is the final show of the week.
Thank God for that.
Nah, it's Friday.
Friday, as the kids say nowadays. That's right. Yes, I hear every Friday. I hear, oh yeah, at least in my house. I hear it all the time. Really annoying. No matter of fact. BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada. Presents Footy Prime. Dubs is here. JC is here. Wong is here. I am Shams. We have Gregory Foresto here live from Vancouver. Someone's got some background audio issues. Do you hear that?
Yeah, there's some tumbling or something.
And it's
right?
Not Jimmy this time because he's not here.
No.
If it was Jimmy, would do this.
Yeah.
Not sure. It's gone now.
It's gone now? All right. Anyway, Gregory, let's start with you. You're at FIFA Congress, which wrapped up yesterday. You've been sending us some amazing videos, some amazing pictures. Let's keep this positive, at least as long as we possibly can. Pretty cool event, right, for UX players, being wined and dined?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. I mean, it's seeing the usual suspects here that we saw actually in Washington, the same, a lot of the same guys involved and playing, except for Wonger, that is.
I know, so much FOMO.
Yeah,
really, no, I do.
Yeah. Oh, no, I wish he was here, too. I wish you were all here. It would be fun. I mean, the weather's been great. It's been perfect. The Congress has gone quite well, I think, overall. Lots of entertainment. The night before, Sarah McLachlan was on. They had some Cirque du Soleil stuff going on. I tell you, that Canada place in Vancouver is a fantastic facility. It's huge. Because I was like, how are they going to fit in 2,000 people? And like, it's like easily. Like it is massive. And then they moved I guess to where the old Olympic TV broadcast center was for the event, the actual Congress, which again is a massive area, beautiful patio outside. I tell you, the 211 countries that are here, they're pretty impressed. You know, obviously it's a beautiful city and they're having a good time with that. But the stage, the production, they don't cut any corners. There's lots of money going around, let me tell you. They sat there, and I thought when they were going through finances, I'm like, you know what? I was sitting with John Catliff, former Canadian international. I was like, because I could have sat at the front with all the so-called legends, right? So I was like, well, Cats, where are you sitting? He said, I'm sitting in the back. I said, I'll sit with you. He said, we'll watch from back here. And yeah, it was pretty amazing. And then it's hearing that this whole stage gets sent around the world, like they'll fly it around, a couple million bucks, no problem. But the same stage is used for all the different congresses and all that. So it's pretty seamless. And obviously they hire the best production people and television. They put on a pretty good show overall. Yeah, very impressive.
I know they've got a shit ton of money, but that seems like a poor way to utilize all the money they have, that flying around the same stage to every single event they do. Explain that, please.
Well,
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, when you're getting, I guess, you know, something that has some continuity, I guess, you know.
Yeah, you got to talk about branding. I understand that. Like, you need to be consistent. Yeah. A vinyl printed sign doesn't, you know, mounted to a stage isn't good enough when you're talking World Cup.
But do they, like rock bands have more than one stage? And while you're performing on this current stage, already in the next stop, there's another stage being built.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Probably. They just have the one because, you know, obviously money's tight, you know.
FIFA roadies, what a gig that would be. Imagine the sex and the drugs. Be amazing. I want to be a FIFA roadie.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no kidding.
Imagine the tour buses. Infantino at the back of the bus with all the shady characters doing back bus deals, you know, traveling from venue to venue, CD nightclub to CD nightclub.
That's what do the groupies? It. What do the groupies look like in World Cup groupies?
That's, you know what? When Jack Warner was in charge and Sepp Blatter, very different scene than to the current group, I imagine.
That's a very good point. With all the noise going around the current FIFA people and what's going on, when you look at what happened in our time when I was playing for the national team under Jack Warner, Sepp Blatter, Chuck Blazer, I mean, it was those, when you go through the charges of when 2015, I guess, racketeering, money fraud, bribery, like, I mean, it was insane how sideways it was and how corrupt and how, you know, you're trying, you know, small countries, big countries, everybody's trying to get along here and trying to, you know, make a difference and grow the game. And that really wasn't what they were doing. That leadership wasn't, you know, service, if you like, you know, what Victor actually mentioned about in a speech, which I thought they did a fantastic job. I was pretty proud of him. And obviously, Peter Grusso went up there too, did a really nice job. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool to be hosting here in home city where I started playing my football. So yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And then Gianni Infantino actually ended the conflict between Palestine and Israel.
Yeah, he tried. He certainly tried. I think in hindsight, he probably wouldn't have spontaneously thought that they were going to shake hands. And then the Palestinian guy looks out to the crowd and he's like, "We are suffering. We are so," like, it was fucking intense.
Powerful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
So can you explain to those that didn't see the video?
Exactly. Well, first of all, I will credit FIFA on this. Like, they will shy away from certain things, but they gave the opportunity for them to have a stage. And if we're going to let the Palestinian president have a say, which he spoke for half an hour or 35 minutes, in English, and then they let the Israeli vice president of their soccer football association, he came up and spoke in Hebrew. Now, we had translations for that, but the thing, I think right across the board, it was cutting in and out for people. So I thought it was just mine, but it was like, it was John Catlis and everybody else up the front too. So it was hard to understand what he was saying. But then Gianni Infantino spontaneously thought, well, I'll get these two up. Would you come up and have a photo op, a stage, you know, have a handshake? And that was not going to happen. It was a standoff.
What's the word to use? Audacity?
It's one.
To think that is your place and that, I mean, my God, yeah. I didn't think sports and politics are supposed to mix. Aren't FIFA always telling us that? You can't wear a goddamn t-shirt with a message on it. Yeah, he's trying to get Israel and Palestine to shake hands on the stage. Wow.
Well, I will say this. I mean,
the arrogance is the word that I would use.
Okay, arrogance is a much better word.
I mean, he does, honestly, I think he means well. Like, you know, some of the spontaneous decisions he makes, I mean, with the FIFA Peace Prize and all that, I think he means well. He's trying to be positive in some really difficult positions. And when you're head of a group that are going to make $14 million. It's not just your ass. It's 211 countries that are going to basically, you know, not profit, but benefit from all this money. And to be able to see that and see the money to the penny by the auditors who are brought in separately to do that, the money is going back into football. And so some pretty amazing programs. So for all the criticism they get, and rightly so, they are trying to push some of the right things together. Even the anti-racist stuff that was right after the Palestinian or Israeli thing. So it was like a really intense part of the program, especially just coming out of finances, which is kind of, you know, generally boring, other than the fact that, holy shit, do they make a lot of money? Mm-hmm. You know, it's insane. Like, they make more than some countries, right? So there's a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces, but they try to, it certainly looked on the surface that it was very transparent, and the 211 countries, or except for Iran,
210, yep,
yeah, everybody was pretty happy, I think. And then they also vote on who is going to be the auditors. So if you think there's something going on with the current auditors, you can change that and put a motion forward to be able to change that. It happened to be PricewaterhouseCooper, whatever. So
PricewaterhouseCooper.
PricewaterhouseCooper. That's right. Yeah.
Feels like the checks and balances should maybe come from outside the room, though, is something that I would just say.
Yeah, that's PwC, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Listen, I mean, there's a lot to criticize FIFA about, and we do. They're not corrupt anymore, or as corrupt, clearly, than like Craig mentioned there. They're not. You can criticize the pricing and the variety of things that FIFA do that is unpalatable, but they have cleaned. They've cleaned the house up. They have.
They have to. Yep, certainly from a certain degree, they have done. Yeah.
Certainly from a hotel room booking state, they've cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Because your hotel looks spectacular.
The veneer is spectacular.
Yeah. And outside, you had some protesting going on. You had some of the Vancouver Save the Whitecaps, which I hung out with some of those people after, which was great to see the, you know, support for the Whitecaps here. That's a big story here.
Well, we'll get into that. Let's save that because before you get into the Whitecaps, I want to hear about Canada winning the 16-term FIFA-organized executive tournament that Craig Forrest took part in. Steph LaBay played keeper for. But I want to hear about your experience, Craig, and where you were and how excited you were when you got your medal.
Can I just jump in there? Sorry, my whole comment about corruption no longer being a big thing in FIFA. With Canada winning this, I take that back.
Oh, fair enough.
Clearly, someone's being paid off here.
Yeah. They're Canadian referees.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig, start your story, please.
Yeah. Where do I start? I mean, there was an event in Langley where there was an arena built as part of the Legacy program, which is interesting. And there's also, I think, a few other ones going in, at least a couple other ones going in to areas where I think they really need it, like Nunavut, you know, places like that, like, you know, that can't tangibly get a hold of anything that's Legacy related. So let's hope that pans out. I think it will, certainly. So we went out there, did that. Gianni Infantino, I think, he was supposed to go, but it was, if you know Vancouver, you guys do, going all the way from downtown out to Langley, where the Vancouver Football Club are. I went with Rob Friend, actually. Jumped in with him because he was driving out there. Interesting story about him, too, is certainly where he's at in his business side of football. So then we had to get over to UBC for this tournament, the Vancouver Whitecaps Training Center, which is fantastic. So we got there half an hour late. We already had 7 people going. We already started one of the games, went out there. Don't know who was in net. I forget his name. Big lad, like probably 70. Like, fuck. I think he played for 7 minutes and he couldn't walk for the rest of the day or yesterday.
Is this when it's actually you and you're like, I have a friend who, and you're like actually talking about yourself?
Yeah, there is that. So Steph LaBay was there. It was great to see her as well. Melissa Tancredi was playing as well. Zauza, Di Rosario was up top. Victor Montaliani. We had Stoichkov, legendary Bulgarian.
What? Yeah. Any free kicks?
No. But
maybe the greatest.
I don't know how old he is. He must be well in his 60s, isn't he?
What a
fun. And he didn't move well, but he could still spray it around. Like, it was fun.
Yeah. He was something. One of my favorites.
Really. And a super individual. Like, really nice guy. Like, lots of time for him. Lots of time. So, anyway, play the first game. Watching, we typical Canada, defend pretty well. Couldn't fucking score. Hit the post 4 times. I didn't have anything to do with it. I was like, no, you know what? Steph, fill your boots. You stay in net there.
Oh, yeah.
So we drew 0-0 first game, lost the second one, 1-0. Again, hit the post 2 or 3 times, couldn't fucking score. It's just insane. So we get to the third game. We're playing the African Confederation. Well, they didn't have any young whippersnappers. They were probably all like 65 and playing their third game now, and they're basically a bunch of pylons walking around, right? So we had to win by four to get into the next round.
Goal difference.
Smashed them 8-2 or something.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, you know, the dressing room we're in this facility is pretty small. I'm going to get in there, get a shower, get myself ready, get out of the way. This is going to be perfect.
The awards ceremony? What were you foreseeing was on the docket after the fact?
Just going back to the hotel for dinner.
Okay, just getting ahead of things. Okay.
You're just getting ahead of things. So I go in there and I'm like, they'll be in here in a few minutes. And they weren't, and they were. And I'm having a coffee. I'm having some bananas. I'm having some fruit because they put on a nice spread, of course. So, and then nothing happens. So they didn't come in. Where is everybody? So I walk out. And sure enough, coming up the stairs, Victor Mortaliani, he's got a medal on it. I'm like, Vic, what's that, a participation medal?
No.
He goes, no, we won it. What do you mean you won it? No way. He goes, yeah, where were you? I go, I was having a
shower. Stuffing my face. You missed the award ceremony, Craig. Jesus Christ.
I missed the whole
second chance of your career to get a trophy.
I know.
Before that, though, what was your role, though? Because I asked Har to get us some footage of you because I was hoping that you were going to be diving and doing something. It was me. And I noticed that you didn't even pay me any mind. You like focused your answer purely on Charms and how out of his element he would have been. Yeah, that's true. You're like, oh, yeah.
That question. I didn't expect that question. I was doing some other kind of media pieces for Chinese, actually, media out of all places. And then all of a sudden I'm doing Har, and she's like, ask me.
Very specific, right?
Har
gets right stuck in.
Yeah.
So what were you doing? Were you like the glorified water boy? Were you coaching? Like, what was your role? Cause you were
pretty
decked
much.
Out
I was
and
wandering
kit.
Around all the other teams. Cause like, there's some other guys like Paolo Wanchop, who I played with, West Ham United, Costa Rican guy, legend. And, Davor Šuker was there, you know, from the West Ham guy. And talking to Stoichkov about some of the players, the Bulgarians that they played, Boncho Genchev, that also played in 94. I actually stole him. I got his jersey, his World Cup jersey.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. So, yeah, just going around schmoozing with different people. And then D-Rose's girlfriend's there. She's videoing everything. Like, D-Rose's got to document everything. Don't miss a goal. Don't miss a goal. Like,
I think it's great. Like this team's like dying on the pitch. They're determined to get something out of this. And there's Craig wandering around having little chats and schmoozing. You know when you play little kids soccer and there's always that one girl picking daisies on the pitch.
Yeah,
you know that was Craig.
Yeah, or boy. Yeah, it was a
Or boy. Sorry, yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah. One kid. There's a kid.
One kid. Yeah.
And you know, if Steph wasn't there, I would have played. But I was like, you know what, like. I'm just asking for trouble. My shoulder's sore. Victor yesterday, he's trying to go up like the tiniest of steps on the stage, and I'm watching him, and he looks like he's like crippled. So I saw him earlier, I go, how are you feeling? He's just like, ooh. Yeah.
So everybody a little bit worse for wear after the 7v7.
Yeah, of course. But no serious injuries. That's just the lots of after sort of stiffness and various things, complaining of bad backs and something. Of course you are.
Craig is, here's the thing. It's kind of like, I don't know if you guys remember Battle of the Network Stars, where they put all the like ABC, CBS, everyone would compete. Craig was like the greeter, walking around interviewing people. So how's it going? Where are you from? Do you think you'll win the obstacle course? Like I could see him just being the Walmart greeter for Canada FIFA yesterday.
Yeah,
that's right.
They had an issue. I got a call from Javi, you know, and he's like, I wonder if you're going to help me here. He says, Adidas sent 16 or 20 pair of gloves. They're all kid size for this tournament. Okay. You can find 16 or 20 pair of gloves. The adult sizes? I was like, oh, well, so I'm thinking Brad Leach, right? Soccer X guys.
Yeah.
Scott Coulter got a hold of those guys. Paul Dolan from Adidas. But I did talk to him later, but after the fact. And then I phoned up North American Sports, which is quite a...
Wait a second. Didn't we hear this story already?
We did. We heard the story when Ace was on.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Sure. Oh, okay. Yeah. Listen, in Craig's defense, he's done so many interviews along. Yeah, it's a whirlwind, right? Yeah. It arrives on Wednesday.
It's just
a
whirlwind. I was like, wait a second. Is this? I didn't know if if that was off air or on air. That's the problem,
too. Me neither, obviously. Okay.
You told the same story to those Chinese reporters.
I did. Well, actually, they were from, and then the lady's like a very strong Chinese accent. She's like, can you say, hello, Phoenix TV? So I start going on. I go, I love Phoenix. I was down in Palm Springs. She goes, no. No, it's for Chinese TV. It's like, it's not actually Phoenix.
Oh, you were doing a promo for their TV commercial.
Yes.
Or their sports coverage or something.
Yeah, or whatever. Like, right. No, we're actually based in Hong Kong. I was like, oh, all right. I liked Hong Kong too.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Yeah, that's fine too. Yeah, take two.
Craig has no idea, but he's going to become a huge star in Hong Kong now.
Yeah.
His face, plastered all over the place.
Yeah. Or talking about how hot it can be in the summer there.
Yeah. Mm. Or he's going to be embroiled in some huge controversy because you've unintentionally endorsed something awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what could Phoenix be?
Yeah.
Some political party or something.
Yeah.
Hard right
political party. Erectile dysfunction.
No, it'd be, yeah. If you don't, like, Hong Kong's being slowly Chinified, right? Like, they're basically, so Craig could, this could be the pro-democracy channel, Phoenix TV, and Craig is on the wrong side of the Chinese government.
Or the other way, where I'm like all over all this propaganda.
Oh, that's great. You with your red book?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. Marx.
Not Yao, maybe later.
The Great Leap Forward with Craig Forrest.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Live from the Congress.
It's Saturday night.
In comes Infantino.
Yeah, that's just
doing his little monologue. I'm so funny. So, I could just imagine, Infantino's monologue. He'd be like thinking he's the funniest thing since Eddie Murphy.
Yes, and he would be both the host and the musical guest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the last thing I wanted to talk about with this game. What were Gianni Infantino's skills like, Greg?
His skills?
On the field, on the pitch.
Oh, not good. He's not very good, but he loves it. He loves playing. He loves playing. But yeah, if you got him in your team, you've definitely got a weak link.
He wants to do everything like Dub says, though, right?
The best part of the SNL would be when he brings out Will Smith and Chris Rock and he tries to shake hands.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
didn't go down very well.
I'm so surprised this didn't work out.
My friends, Will Smith and Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Come, shake hands.
There's another one, another interesting one was with... I was standing with a broad friend and he introduced me to this Mexican fella who was Bora. How do you pronounce his last name?
Milutinovic.
Yeah, that's it. Legend guy. And he's, I don't know how old he is. He might be close to 90.
Oh, wow.
But he looks good for his age. He's sharp, pretty sharp. Very interesting guy to talk to about. What are you guys doing?
Oh, we're saying how good I look.
Yeah, he looks good for his age. And Walker's like, what about this guy? Look at this skin.
Craig, this guy is a freaking legend, though, right? Bora. He's only 81. I thought he'd be older than that. So he is coached, all right? He's coached UNAM, Mexico, San Lorenzo, Udinese, Veracruz, Tacos, Costa Rica, USA, Mexico, Nigeria. The Metro Stars, China, Honduras, Al Sadd, Jamaica, Iraq, and an advisor in China. That boy has been around more, actually almost as many clubs as Roy Hodgson. Not quite as many.
Yeah. Like internationally, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. And I played against him. I'm not sure Costa Rica played against him back then, but certainly when he was coach of Mexico and the United States. So I asked him, I said, what's your favorite most memorable country that you you coach for, and he said, you know, from a footballing standpoint, he says Mexico, but the whole overall experience, he said, was the Chinese experience. He said it was fantastic. You can imagine, eh? I mean, what an amazing experience that is for anybody, but like to do that and do it for in so many different countries, and so they end up in Qatar. I don't know if they're doing some. What they were doing, they were developing coaches, players, I'm not sure. But they ended up befriending one of these princes of Qatar. So the assistant, because this Mexican guy was Borough's assistant from 2000, so through the Chinese projects, through all that. And he then, basically now, he's the fixer for this prince guy. So this prince of Qatar is going to come over to Vancouver for a month, and his job is coming to Vancouver. Thought he would only be here a few days. But to get the biggest, best penthouse situation, which I think he rented the top floors of the Pan Pacific. I think it was that ended up doing that. And then he had to find like courts, like pickleball or something, paddle ball, all these different things. Like, okay. And it had to be really close by, really easily accessible for this guy. Well, that wasn't easy. Rob was like involved a bit, Rob Friend, and he was like that, you know, Vancouver, like a pickleball court would be like worth $1 billion. The property's so expensive. Like, what are you going to, it's not happening. Not happening. He's no, it's happening. It's happening. It's going to happen. I just got to find it. So he ends up being here for a month. And anyway, where we had that event at Canada Place, he's like basically rented half of that space for the month. Like, I can't even tell you how much. I have no idea what that would cost. Millions.
For his own stuff.
For a paddle ball court.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine that kind of money. My God.
That's what I said.
It's a bit unsavory, isn't it?
So not a bad gig. I'll be like, yeah. I said, I asked his assistant if I could be his assistant.
Assistant to the traveling station.
Yeah, how can I support you support him?
The guy behind the guy behind
help
the guy.
Help you.
Yeah. That's a good gig. Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on here. Lots of connections. Like Rob Friend is like connected. And I guess it's through the executive committee of FIFA. So they basically have a Rolodex of every executive at club level, confederation level, right across the planet. So he's done some work advising in Malaysia, tapped into guys that are involved with the Prince of Qatar. You know, he work in the room, like everybody there, he knows pretty well. There's an Australian woman, very sweet. She happened to be the owner of Barnsley in England. Like, okay.
Happened to be, wow.
Yeah. She says, did you play in Barnsley? I was like, oh, yeah, several times. I said on a Tuesday or Wednesday midweek. What a shithole.
Barnsley.
I was saying to Craig, Canada needs to host every World Cup because Craig doing this ambassadorship with FIFA is brilliant.
He's a natural.
Look at him. All pale, happy. Smiling.
It should be a career. It really should be. Yeah. Look, if you're you know, English or Italian, this is the career. You're just walking around the world representing that particular association.
And I'd be the assistant, Charms. Looking for paddleball, pickleball.
Be honest, Craig. When you were invited,
or pickleball.
Yeah. Sorry.
Did they ask you not to bring that guy from last time?
I wasn't going to say.
Sure, you have questions. People are like, where's that guy? He was terrific.
Yeah. So what guy's that? The really loud guy.
he ordered five bottles of wine
at $2,500.
He got our names wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we should. Anything else from the Congress you guys want to get to?
If the Congress has to do with just before it, has to do with Vancouver Whitecaps and that drama, was that the segue we were going to go with?
It can, but yeah. I mean, that's the one.
It's only because the last podcast that I was on was a couple of days ago, and we were mentioning about the word of the commissioner, Don Garber. And at the end, Dubs agreed with me. She goes, I think you're right, Wonger. because everything he's been saying has been forthright that, hey, there's got to be something really done and all that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, the Las Vegas billionaire's son comes out, public storage billionaire, basically saying, we want that. We want Vancouver in that franchise in Vegas. And then David Eby, premier of the British Columbia, has a speech saying, we're working with everybody. We want this to work out. And from Don Garber's Twitter is a tweet that says, liar, liar, pants on fire.
I don't think it's Don Garber.
No, but isn't it interesting how
somebody's burner, 100%, yes, who has access to his account.
Yeah. It's someone's social media who is, and it reminds me of, you know, that tweet that Donald J did to, hey, we need to get rid of these people. And he thought he was texting somebody. Because it was like, hey, Pam. And it was like going to Pam Bondi. And he goes, we need to get Comey. We need to get, like, he's listing it off. And it was a tweet. It was a tweet that he thought was either an like a DM, a direct message, or he thought was an email. And he's old as fuck, so who knows? But I think it was a Don Garber did a Donald J. or something like that, right?
So? No, I really don't think that was the case. I think someone got hold of his account.
Really?
No, I think he has a social media manager.
Yeah.
Who has access to his account. Yes. So it's not hacked. So this is where the word hacked.
Sure. But it wasn't Don Garber writing that.
No.
I think it's his people.
Yes.
And they just got confused, like either what platform they were on, what account they were
That's right.
Or as Wong was saying, I thought this was a direct message, but in fact, it was public and it was a comment on the thread.
It was Colonel Mustard in the kitchen with the cell phone. Yeah. That's what you have to know.
Okay, so the question though is someone's pants on fire right now? Is this a lot further down the line than we think?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to several people about what was going on in the province and in the city. What I heard was the mayor here has done everything that he can do, and they're pretty happy with the mayor about that. But when it comes down to the provincial side of things, I think they're the ones behind BC Place, and they're going to need some help from them or something to be able to work out if they're going to stay. And the premier has been very vocal about all this support. However, I think he's liar, liar, pants on fire.
You do, do you?
It doesn't sound as though they're doing what they're saying publicly. Certainly not as much. So I kind of understand that. And then if it was from Don Garber, even from his people, live with it. Live with it. Take it. Ride it. Like, fucking let's go. If that's what he believes and that's what's going on, go public with it. But I guess on the other side of things, there might have been some people approach him and go, hey, Don, like that's not helping the situation.
Well, if you're Axel, right, you'd be sitting there going all of the stuff. And because I just was reading about Axel saying – yesterday, we're not going to make any more comments about anything right now. We're in a very tentative space, all of that kind of thing. But for Vancouver and the ownership who's trying to make a deal somewhere, that Athletic article plus this Don Garber thing, plus even our analysis, not saying that we're the best team of analysts, but we do have some insight. There's a lot of conversation around the Whitecaps. And for all of this to kind of conflate at the same time, it's pretty incredible. Like you have this hack, you know, using the term hack also, I don't think it's a hack, but
me as an analyst?
That's hackneyed. You'd use the full word, hackneyed. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you can imagine. Can you imagine, okay, you're in Vancouver and somebody's hacked your phone and they happen to be a Whitecap fan and they're going to put something out that's going to be touchy once.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, you're writing something like, I eat dicks.
Are you talking about graffiti? Like on a bathroom wall? What's happening?
Right. I think all the fans want, though, and good or bad, they just want clarification and honesty. That's all they want. Just be fucking honest with us. Where is this? If this Vegas group's come to the table And clearly, if it says Paul Tenorio reports in The Athletic, it's come this far. This has been discussed for a very long time. It's not just popped out of nowhere. Be honest.
No.
Right? Yeah. And these positive conversations between the mayor and Don Garber, what do you mean by that? When you say positive, what is that constructive? What does that even mean? Be honest. They can handle it. It may be horrible news you don't want to hear, but they deserve that at the very least.
Yeah. Well, Craig was trying to have them shake hands in the locker room. He missed that part.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
It was never gonna go well.
He was sharing his berries. Yeah. He goes, "Why don't you have some berries?"
Yeah. Here's a little thing. Suffering. I'm suffering.
It's funny though, you know, the liar, liar, pants on fire thing. It's rather on the nose, because I was thinking about, it's like a childhood thing that you would hear on the schoolyard, right? Or in the schoolyard. But I remember it as like the first line afterwards. Then I have like, I draw a blank for what comes next. It would be like liar, liar, pants on fire, hang yourself from a telephone wire. That's how we did it in Quebec. But I looked it up and it's apparently liar, liar, pants on fire, nose as long as a telephone wire. Shame, shame, pass the blame. I'm rubber, you're glue. What you say bounces off me onto you. So it's very apt for this entire convoluted situation, isn't it? So yeah, I love the fact that this burner account, or it's hacked, whatever it is, or hackneyed. Yeah. I think that the whole expression really explains the situation of the Whitecaps in the province right now, and Garber and the influence of the valuation system of these franchises, and like how we don't look after our own as Canadians, whether you're the municipal, provincial, or federal government.
And we don't. We're so proud of Vancouver and this whole beautiful situation and Victor and being Canadian and being in the forefront of it. All that, but it's like, fuck me, we do not support our own. We don't.
Look at the origin of that saying here. Just a William Blake poem, The Liar, apparently is the origin of it. And just reading. Now, then, in which case, if it's from the UK, pants means something very different to what they mean here. They mean underwear over there, which takes it to a new level of seriousness.
So does Fanny. Balls on fire.
Right. Or a ball.
Yeah.
Well, this reminds me of when I went to England for the first time and with my mother in 2006, and we went to a souvenir shop, and there was mom was buying a scarf, and she said, "Oh, let me just reach into my fanny pack.
Fanny pack."
And it was the looks from around the shop.
That is the one that gets the most reactions, I think, when you get it in a different country. The poem, actually, by William Blake, some great lines here. Deceiver, dissembler, your trousers are alight. From what pole or gallows shall they dangle in the night? When he asked of your career, why did you have to kick my rear with that stinking lie of thine, proclaiming that you owned a mine? When you asked to borrow my stallion to visit a nearby moored galleon, how could I ever know that you intended only to turn him into glue? What red devil of mendacity grips your soul with such tenacity? Will one you cruelly shower with lies put a pistol ball between your eyes? What infernal serpent has lent you his forked tongue? From what pit of foul deceit are all these whoppers sprung? Almost finished. Deceiver, dissembler, your trousers are alight. From what pole or gallows do they dangle in the night?
Oh my God.
William Blake, that's something. That's better than sports writing.
Yeah, you should have been holding a skull when you were reciting that.
with a candle in it.
Yeah.
That's going on socials.
Brilliant.
That was great. You should do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I should just bring a poem to each show and just read it.
That's what Don should have done.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
There once was a man from...
And then tuck it.
I don't even know that full one. I keep forgetting it. There once was a man from Nantucket.
Really? That's what we're doing?
Whose dick was so long he could suck it. He said with a grin, if you're this with, if you're something, something, I would fuck it. That's basically, I forgot what the rest was.
I just knew what the rhyme was. I didn't know any of the middle bit.
The old algorithms on YouTube are going to just kill us.
Yeah. No kidding again.
It's not going in.
I no idea why our numbers are down on YouTube right now.
What are you talking about?
37 views.
We're reading poetry. We are.
Hey, listen. We've got to move on here. We got some comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Any of you guys have comments regarding Vancouver? Because I have got a couple. But let's keep the theme going.
No, I do not.
I do. Yours? Yes.
Okay. You start.
Well, I have some that I just pulled because it kind of jogged the old memory banks, and I pulled them out, so I don't have them here. But I just wanted to say, I'll loop back to one that's relevant to our conversation. But at the end of our pod with Asa, Jimmy said, that's it, like they're gone, or something to that effect. So Bathing in a Forest 000 said, actually, I changed my mind. Unsubscribing everywhere after the insensitive comment by Jimmy at the end of the podcast. Unhelpful and downright rude, disrespectful and hurtful to a Whitecaps supporter right now. We're trying to save our club and you're not with us. Or if you're not with us, you are the enemy. So I just wanted to say, in Jimmy's defense, it sounded glib and it sounded like a throwaway line and that he wasn't with the Whitecaps. It wasn't that. Jimmy, I think, was just assessing the situation. Like somebody who's a Canadian, hearkening back to what I was saying about not looking after our own, whether we're talking about clubs or ex-players, like I think that was just some bitterness coming out from Jimmy and nothing directed at the Whitecaps fan base. Jimmy wants the Whitecaps to stay just as much as anybody. I think he's just being very realistic about the situation, that if everything stays exactly as it is, he doesn't see them having a chance of staying in Canada. And I don't think that is something that you can really argue with at this point. I hope that it's positive. My glass is perennially half full, but I think Jimmy's just looking at it as a stark realist, and he's saying this doesn't look good for the Whitecaps. That's all it was.
Yeah, I would agree.
100%.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. I mean, I understand the sensitivity right now, and people are very reactive. I get that, but
it's the biggest story out here, as it should be. Forget the World Cup. I've said this before. Get rid of the World. Give up the World Cup in a heartbeat to keep the Vancouver Whitecaps here. They're so important to this, to the culture and the development of our sport here. You have the World Cup to build on something like that and bring a team like the Whitecaps in. Like this, you know, this is a start of something brilliant, right? Not burn it all down. What the fuck? Like something's got to work out. And there's a lot of frustration. Even like Don Garber, he is frustrated. There's no question. And whether that played a part in it, I'm sure it did. They're trying to make it work. And okay, you know, it's an NDP government here, rightly, you know, whether you support their politics or not, they don't want to be seen as, you know, that it's against their look and everything to go helping a billionaire, a multi-millionaire, you know, put things together, and it's just not their MO. Like,
no, and I would argue that's not just an NDP government. That's a Canadian. Like, sometimes I think we're a bit myopic about what sport delivers, and I've told people this. I've changed on my outlook of integrating, and I think Adam Vancouverden and the government just threw money at amateur sport and the Canadian sporting associations. So, you know, maybe
NSOs,
NSOs, right? National Sporting Organizations. So who knows? Maybe some things we're saying, some things that communities are talking about is how they want their money spent. And it, you know, you can't always tell what investment's going to deliver, but I would argue now, after thinking about how I've changed, ROI on activity for kids across the board, male and female and anything in between, allows an excellent opportunity for growth, for confidence, and, you know, getting rid of a lot of these things because we were trying to be too nice. Or I think you're missing the point on what it can offer is what, you know, the argument is.
Yeah, it's more than just that match at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Exactly.
It's way more than that. That's just a tiny part of it. It goes so buff. Yeah. And the Whitecaps have that community-based club already. You know, it's not like bringing a club in. they already have established that since 1974, right? That club is as old as I am.
Well, there's two CPL teams out there. There's plenty of League One teams, BC League One teams out there. Like, it's a hotbed for the activity, like for the environment. And it'd be sad for its talisman to be yanked away.
And it's the pipeline as well.
James
Pantemis was on the dais for Portland, for the Timbers, and he was talking about coming up through a Canadian MLS academy. Mm-hmm. And removing that threatens not just the Whitecaps, but it threatens that infrastructure and it threatens all the rest of them. And this actually, I don't know if we have time for it, but I'm going to show it anyway. This is targeted at Sharms, but I think it's alluding to like the health and the longevity of a TFC and a CF Montreal and the Whitecaps. So this is S.A. Smith on Twitter. He says, don't think your team isn't next, Sharms. Look at your attendance and what he's obviously referring to Toronto FC. I know, Sharms, just roll with it. We know. Look at your attendance and what it will be when they switch to a winter schedule. Rogers is cutting to the bone. The club is a non-core asset. Don't own their stadium and shitty broadcast deal. Sacramento money, here we come, ? So I think.
No, go ahead, Dubs. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, to Pantemis's comments, like, Vancouver in the situation right now might be a bellwether for things to come for the MLS clubs.
Oh, 100%. Like, TFC fans, it seems as if we're very, very safe and comfortable.
Sorry, I have one too. Oh, don't think your team isn't next, Sharms. Look at your attendance.
This is like Craig's goalie glove story.
But listen, from a TFC standpoint, that club's bleeding money every single year. At some point, when this whole Rogers, you know, MLSE thing comes to a close later this summer, and there's this brand new sporting structure in Canadian sports under one umbrella being Rogers, it does concern me about a club that is bleeding money, being run 100% by an organization that is, you know, has to answer to its board constantly.
Shareholders.
It absolutely. Montreal should be shitting themselves. They are. TFC fans shouldn't be comfortable. This could be, like I said, a bellwether, as you say there, Dubs. It's a great term, by the way. Better than Bell End, which also works.
It's a good term, too.
Yeah, it is. But nothing is secure in North America.
Before this show, I didn't know Bell End or Fanny Pack.
There you go.
I once dated an Australian woman, and she said, "You make my fanny rumble," and I didn't know what she meant until I did know what she meant.
I think she's talking about vaulting because there's too much space in there.
And she had a forked tongue like the William Blake poem.
Hello.
I got one also. Actually, a couple here. This is from Legacy Football Fan. If you want to stay in or promote to MLS, you have to have more babies. Get at it, Vancouver, like rabbits. And he says, this stuff is actually codified into the USSF Professional League standards. If you're wondering where the sports culture DNA comes from, this is in relation to a post here for by Metro Population Comparison he brought up, he found. Oh. He or she, Legacy Football Fan, I apologize. I don't know who you are.
They.
There you go. Vancouver has a Metro Vancouver, 2.7 million people compared to Phoenix. So the LA, Vegas, perhaps 4.8 million people. So the key takeaway is that Phoenix Metro is much larger. Hmm. The difference is about 2.1 million more people in Phoenix's Metro area. In relative terms, Phoenix is roughly 75 to 80% larger than Vancouver's Metro. So Legacy Football Fan says, see you above, Footy Prime. Mail sack topic request. Please discuss the merits of the proposed solution, how to execute at scale. Sex. Unprotected sex.
No.
And back to Bellens.
Yes. Maybe have a big old orgy somewhere. We make light of it. It's not a laughing matter, obviously. It's very concerning right now.
I will tell you, David Oystead out here, what he's got this, you know, Save Vancouver thing going on. And, you know, I was wondering whether it's actually making a tangible difference. And I think it is. I think it is. Because if you can get more names on that list and putting pressure on politicians where it actually matters, because like, the conversation came up with, if the Vancouver Canucks were in the same position, what would happen?
Government involved for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is what happens in this country and the powers that we talk about behind the scenes, that they don't give a shit about football. They don't care. They just try to protect it. And one thing when you're sitting in that room and they're going alphabetically through a 211 countries and you're just like, and you're watching this world map and like Togo, St. Lucia, Barbados, like Curacao, over here, we're going over like Japan, and you know, US, Canada, Mexico, like just, it was insane how big. And I don't think people can comprehend it here. And they don't even like it, the fact that it's that big. They wish their sport was, you know, a percent of that size, because they fucking aren't. They
the
aren't.
NHL Congress would be much smaller.
Gosh, jeez Christ, you could hold it in a fucking phone booth. Let's be serious.
No, yeah.
So going back to the statement of the Vancouver Whitecaps, the one that we outlined when Asa was on here, like just talking about how bleak the situation was, and they pushed that kind of public facing. That was calculated, and that was calculated in a good way, because they knew the spotlight that was going to be put, whether it was Husted, is that his name for us, David Husted, and the petition and drumming up support for that, and then the Whitecaps fans with the Save the Caps and the rallies and the noise that that's making, and you do so on a platform that gives you so much more reach because of the presence of the FIFA Congress. Mm. So hopefully this is the tipping point for this movement, that it really gains some traction now, and then realistic things, tangible things happen for the good.
Yeah. And there's still, you know, talking to people, there's still positive, you know.
More people at the table apparently this week since this started.
Right.
I think the mayor was it the mayor or was it EB? I don't know who it was. Simon was just saying that there's been quite a few more potential buyers popping up, but you know where they've been the last year. I mean, this hasn't just suddenly happened. It's been pretty. Yeah.
Look, well, we're all hopeful, right? Let's be honest. We're hopeful. Yeah. We want Vancouver. Craig's feelings towards the team rubs off on us, and knowing how he has always elevated the Whitecaps to his career shows you how important this team is to the community.
Yeah, I was talking to Paul Dolan as well. I mean, he was drafted by the Vancouver Whitecaps, you know, when he was a teenager. You know, they went away, and then they come back and they're saved. And I know Kerfoot's taken a lot of heat, but, you know, he's a rich man, went through a divorce, but can't sustain $15, $20 million losses. It's just not sustainable for him. I get that. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, more super dogs at halftime. Maybe that's the super dogs is the solution.
Most things think the super dogs is the solution.
Yeah. They are.
Listen, we have to get to footy picks. We have a big announcement coming very shortly. But before then, this has been Craig Show today. He's been dominating the airways. I love it.
Brilliant.
Shall we roll, JC? Are you ready? Let's do this.
DJ Melody. It's 40 picks.
All right, Gregory, what you got this week? You're 2-0 so far.
2-0.
Yeah. I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb. I'm going to do a little parlay.
Mm-hmm.
Our Arsenal win against our Fulham. And Orlando and Miami are two international goalkeepers that we think are going to be the two guys for the World Cup, are playing each other with the two teams that score a lot of goals, concede a lot of goals, a lot of chances. So I would say I'm going to go with the under 3.5 goals, which actually itself pays nearly 2-1. And that at least one of our guys, and I hope both of them stand on their head, and I'm convinced that they're going to do that and keep the score under 4 goals.
Love it.
These odds are courtesy of BetMGM.
Fellas.
Craig is 2-0. Last week, mine came through as well. So overall, we're 3-0.
It's unheard of.
It is.
Wow.
I have one here as well. And this is a little fun one, because this weekend is Liverpool-Manchester United dubs.
Just a little game I've heard of.
A little game, yeah. Which means so much more than the table, although the table is important, of course. But both teams, I wouldn't say Liverpool's safe in the Champions League spots just yet, but they're looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And United are fine. Mm-hmm. So within that game, I want a barn burner, right? So over 3.5 goals.
Oh.
Both teams to score, obviously. A goal in both halves. And here's the two that I think are gimmies. Casemiro, who's starting every game. to commit two or more fouls.
Easy money.
As is Curtis Jones, who's been playing recently as well and loves these matchups. These guys in the center, in the heart of that midfield, are going to be busting legs. All that pays. This is a juicy one. Plus 1,087. So $5. My $5 wager on BetMGM will pay me almost $60.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tempting, isn't it?
I like it, Sharms.
Right. But it's not. Have you been watching snooker? Have you been watching any snooker?
Hell of a lot, Craig. I got the WST app on my phone.
Oh, there you go.
A lot in the semifinals right now. God, I love it so much.
Can I ask you a question, Sharms?
I like you less when you talk about snooker.
I brought in that S.A. Smith, and it was a different. It was more about everyone thinking that TFC is your team.
Yeah.
So I wanted to finalize, and not saying they're not your team, but from your place, what are your teams that you cheer for, that you elevate, that you will stay home to watch? What teams do you watch?
Well, Liverpool, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? Canada and England.
Yeah. So when you say Canada and England, for like, would you make sure you're at home? Like last Olympics, I was watching with Craig on the back of the deck. We were watching Canada play Germany, I think it was. But there were like, we stayed home and made sure. Will you watch like Olympic? Will you watch?
Olympics, I'm not. You know what's funny? Olympics, women's, yeah, 100%. Men, not so much. It just hasn't been a big thing because they've had that World Cup for so long.
Right.
And growing up, Olympic soccer meant nothing. In fact, Great Britain rarely had a team, if at all. Right. So not that important.
Yeah, until 2012.
I know you'll stay home. I know you'll stay home to watch the Leafs, right? Leafs are one of your teams.
Yeah. Well,
Are the Jays? Yeah. Would you stay at home to watch the Jays?
I'm a bandwagon jumper. I do like watching baseball. Once the summer hits and those hot afternoons, it's nice to watch baseball. And I used to watch them all the time, but I haven't got time these days. But when they get good again, and they are good, well, not in the moment perhaps, but I loved last year, for example, the playoff, 100%. So yeah, I'm a bandwagon jumper with the Jays. So I fully admit it. And this, as far as TFC is concerned, I said before, I like TFC. I like Vancouver. I like Montreal. I want Canadian teams to do well. I've covered TFC so closely over the last number of, well, Christ, since 2007. I can't be a fan per se. But one day when all the work dries up, you know, maybe in a few months' time, I live in Toronto, I'm going to become a TFC fan probably because why not? It's right there. Go to a match, right?
And who doesn't want to spend $36 on a beer?
But, by the way, I interviewed Jason Hernandez yesterday. It'll be up
in
written column. Interesting, looking at TFC in light of the World Cup this summer, what it means for that club, that brand moving forward. So he's nice guy, good guy, sharp guy. So give it a chance when it drops, maybe later today, unless they have to edit the hell out of it, which is quite possible.
God, your bias towards Toronto FC is sickening.
I know, God. Horrible. Isn't it the worst?
Before we leave... promo. Where's Dubs going to be this weekend?
Before then.
Oh, sorry.
JC's got a massive announcement.
Oh, right. That promo, too.
Yeah. JC's time. It's JC's time.
Hi. It's me, JC. AI JC.
So, it's finally happening. Sorry to startle James. It's finally happening. There's been stuff kicking around for years, bootleg this or that people have made in the past. And our friends at Admiral have done some stuff and they're wonderful. But we thought we're going to jump on that old merch bandwagon and introducing Footy Prime the Shop.
Nice.
Woo! So, we now have a shop, which we will be launching this weekend. So keep your eyes peeled on socials. When this goes live, it should be live today. But shall we look at some products, guys?
Yes, let's.
So we went through this. So this is going to be up for a week, and then it's gone. So once these products are gone,
they're gone.
Limited. There's a limited amount. They're gone. And then every few weeks or so, or every month, we're going to have new stuff.
It's like a pop-up virtual shop.
That's it. So this is the band shop. So it's a classic Footy Prime all black and white hat with a rope. We got a koozie for your beer and for your – we have it in the two sizes, one for your regular beer and then one for your one ball red and yellow card cocktails. So that's the smaller, thinner can. Nothing wrong with that.
Like the skinny koozie. Yeah.
That's right. Skinny koozie.
That's what we all like.
You prefer yours extra large. Yeah,
the Rumble Girl, especially.
And get on it quickly because we only have three of each
item. Skinny koozie with a forked tongue.
That's it. So we got our cliche band t-shirt. Charms mm-hmm. and Stacks and Jimmy B and Dubs and JC and Warner.
Can you scroll up there, JC?
What's that?
Can you scroll up to the video here so people can see?
The video?
You're scrolling right now. You're sharing the screen.
Am I not sharing the screen?
You are sharing the screen.
But it stops at the Charms, Stacks, Jimmy, Dubs and JC and Wonga t-shirt.
Yeah.
Is it possible to show? There we go.
I'm just going through them all.
Oh, yeah.
Give him a chance, Charms.
Yeah, shut up, Charms.
God.
Yeah. Micromanager.
Face like snooker. Relax.
Micromanager.
And then we have our, we thought it would be cool to do a Footy Prime shirt. And then somebody hacked it and wrote sucks on it.
Mm. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Then we have a hoodie, which has been so wanted. People want a hoodie. So we have a wonderful classic Footy Prime hoodie in white or black. We got a Broadcast shirt, which it's street kind of graffiti. Because, you know, the girls are the women.
So hip.
They're so hip. It hurts. We gals. And then we got a tank top with the black and white logo. Then we have our band shirt. So this one's a cool one. So we have your classic shirt. So it's the Footy Prime band. Let's zoom in on this, shall we?
I wasn't crazy about that shirt because my package looked like an innie.
It's not of an outie. That's okay.
Like a skinny koozie.
Yes, I can't look at Jimmy. Jimmy makes me laugh every single time.
I know.
I
just
can't. What about Dubs' package?
No, mine's an outie.
It's the opposite.
So and then
ducked.
So and here's the cool thing. On the back of the You Gotta Eat, or You're Gonna Eat That Tour 26. You gonna eat that? That's the band tour. And then if you look at the dates here, these are all the teams that all of our pros and Joes have played for.
Oh, fun.
Love that. So it's such a great 85, touch.
Ipswich, 86, McGill, 87, Colchester, 88, Canada Men's National Team, Tunbridge Wells RFC for our boy Charms. Bristol City, Chelsea, West Ham, Canada Women's National Team, Nottingham Forest, Canada Men's National Team, Two Pump Chump, the band I was in. San Jose Cyber Rays, Huddersfield Town, Atlanta Beat, Norwich City, Ottawa Fury, Montreal Extreme, Southampton, Laval, and TFC.
So cool.
So
it's amazing.
Yeah, and that's in black and it's in pink. Anyway, and then we have the cool all over shirt with the tie dye.
So. I think these final three are right up your alley, JC. I can see you with the skinny koozie in the middle of the summer getting really red with that tank top on.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see JC in that tank top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So there you go.
You're drunk, getting stuff. Super drunk and beating up the family.
Very cool. Oh, no. No. We do not endorse that here on Free Prime. But no. I wanted to shout out, like you mentioned the Admiral shop, but also to our Carrie Ryan of the Footy Prime Supporters Group, who has done a lot in stickers, merch herself that she's made. And
well, here's something.
Herself and also the scarves, right?
Well, this is the thing. So the scarf, there are 26 scarves that are going to be released and they're going to be shipped by us. In the coming weeks. So there's going to be a limit of 26 for 2026 that will be shipped. And these are the ones that Carrie Ryan made. These right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're beautiful. And there's only going to be 26 and then they're done. So same with these ones. There's 26 of each of these. And when they're gone, they're gone.
It's like our Canadian men's roster spots, 26. And that's it. They're gone.
So I think it's good stuff to purchase though ahead of our Save the Pod campaign. Right
there you go,
because we need to be saved, and you
brought
need to be
to you
saved
by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
So that's amazing, JC. So JC's behind all this. Mm-hmm. So any problems with shipping?
And our friend Casey Telford, thank you.
Yes,
Casey, of course.
The link will be on wearefootyprime.com, and we'll have the links all put plastered out through socials. Also, we're doing $5 flat delivery. So it costs to ship. So especially now with, you know, fuel prices, et cetera. So we put it down to just a $5 flat fee. So just pile it up and get it out there.
Never apologize for shipping fees. Take it from me. You just can't.
Yeah. It's my bra size.
Never apologize for it.
No, I said, that's my bra size. Oh. Flat fee.
yeah, so that pops up. Speaking of popping up, it pops up later this weekend.
It's not popping up.
That's not a bad idea. Like the pop-up bra, like the Reebok pump.
Yeah. Yeah. Bump, 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 bump it up.
I feel like being a C today.
That's pretty good.
Still going.
And then it explodes and that dust comes out. Anyone? Dust. Dust.
Nobody.
Anyway, yeah, so that's coming later this weekend and it's going to be up for a week or so. Then it'll go away and then it will come back again at some point. Pop-up virtual store, essentially what it is.
So this is our rock band collection.
Right. So if you love us, purchase it. If you hate us, get the Footy Prime Sucks t-shirt.
Yeah. There's something for everybody.
We encourage that. Yes.
There is. Other promos, Dubsy, this weekend. What's you up?
Yes, this weekend I will be on TSN. So Saturday, May 2nd, home opener for the Roses as they welcome the Vancouver Rise. And then, so that's TSN. And then Sunday on CBC Gem, both of these matches with Cigna at BMO Field. So there will be the Footy Prime RTDs for sale. Mm-hmm. And AFC Toronto looking for their first ever win in four tries at BMO Field. As they welcome the Halifax Tides.
All right, beautiful. Anyone else doing anything fun this weekend at all?
Yeah, Charlie and I are going to be at the 40 Retrampoline Park for a birthday party from noon to 2 on Sunday. So bring your toddlers out. It's going to be a real hoot. And then there's pizza and cake afterwards.
All right, nice, nice. I'm actually playing golf this weekend.
Wow.
So my friend's
good luck with the weather.
I know. Good luck with the golf, more like.
Can we just be done with Vancouver weather? It's brutal here.
On that note, nice out here. Say goodbye. All right. Listen, that's a long podcast. That's a long podcast, but lots, obviously, to get to. I hope you enjoyed this past week. Make sure you subscribe to our newsletter if you want more of us. You can find that, of course, at www.wearefootyprime.com. Until Monday, Footy Prime is brought to you, actually not until Friday, it's always brought to you by, not until Monday, but yeah. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. We're back on Monday. Enjoy the matches. Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
If we keep winning, we're going to buy the company. That's the goal.
That's a good goal. I like that.
Go.
Victor, who's the guy's name? The guy that bought. He was so good, I bought the company. The shaving guy.
Oh, no, that wasn't Gillette. Oh, I thought that was the Just for Men.
Lady Gillette.
With the hair. Remember the fake hair?
Oh, the brown hair?
I'm a customer.
Ron Popeil?
I'm not just a customer.
I'm also a client.
And I'm a client.
Hair Club for Men.
Yeah.
I'm a member.
Oh, right, the Hair Club for Men.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the infomercial guy.
Yeah, oh, I like him, right. Too.
It was Remington, Victor Kiam.
Oh.
Right. Remington Shavers. Not Remington, the strip club.
Both good guys.